And we are recording. Good. All right, we're on study 7 of Philippians. We will finish the second chapter. But before we get there, we do the opener, little 4 questions about last week's lesson. If I put number 1, fill in the blank. Faith without works is blank.
Well,
yes. Faith without works is dead. It's important to have faith, and then the works will follow. Never put works before faith. 2, Paul reminds the Philippians that they are his blank and God's blank. These are kind of like just words of endearment.
Friends. And God's children.
Yep. Friends and children. Paul reminds Philippians that they are his friends, personal friends, and that they are God's children. Faith has brought them into that relationship. 3, Paul instructs the Philippians to do everything without blank or blank.
Complaining or arguing.
Norma, you have a different word, I think, in your translation.
Mine says grumbling.
Is it grumbling?
Grumbling or arguing.
Arguing? So, what verse?
They say murmuring.
Murmuring.
14. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 14. 2:14, Philippians.
Without murmuring and arguing.
Okay, murmuring, yep. Murmur. Yeah, we're not complaining, we're murmuring.
Good at that.
Murmur.
He mumbles. when he's watching golf on the TV.
Anybody can make that putt.
It's like, well, you might not like what the announcer said.
Oh. Number 4, last one, says, as the Philippians serve the Lord with their faith, Paul blank. One word.
Rejoices.
Yeah. Rejoices. Paul rejoices as he hears about the Philippians serving the Lord because of their faith. He rejoices. And then he wants them to be rejoicing over him as well. So it's a two-way street. Okay, any questions or comments on that? One thing I didn't mention is last week we talked about shining. We're lights, like stars. You know, God looks at the earth, sees his light of his word at work.
Cool.
You know, at work. And it's like, you know, that's you and I. Light comes from God's word. We are believers, we are his light as well.
Told that to several people.
Did
I've
you?
Never thought about that.
Yeah.
You know, we look up and see the light of God, but
yeah.
I didn't think about God looking at us.
Yeah.
I never entered my head.
No.
Yeah. All right, let's read our text here today, the verses that we're going to be looking at. Verses 19 through 30. How about if we just read a verse and until we get to the end? I'll just start with verse 19, then we'll go to Sharon and around the table. If you don't want to read, just say pass. That's no problem. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you.
I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare.
For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ.
But Timothy's work you know. How like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel.
Because as a son with his father he has served me with me in the work of the gospel.
And I am confident in the Lord that in myself I will come soon.
But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs.
For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill.
Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow.
I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious.
Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him.
Because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help that you could not give me.
Okay. That's what we're looking at here today. Thank you for reading. So who are the two men that Paul speaks of in this passage?
Timothy
is one, yep.
And that other funny thing.
Epaphroditus. Now, what is interesting is Epaphroditus or Timothy, are they Jewish names? They'd be Greek names, which is interesting because everything prior to the resurrection, well, even after the resurrection, I mean, the gospel kind of went out to the Jews first and then the Gentiles. And so here we just have names of people that sometimes are hard to pronounce, and yet it just tells us that the gospel has gone further than Jerusalem. It's gone outside of Israel and Galilee, just as Jesus commanded that's what he wanted to happen. So we look at Timothy, the first one. We find that Paul often refers to him as his what?
Son.
Yeah, as his son. And that's in a spiritual way. It's not in a physical way. Timothy is younger than Paul. And so Paul is basically his mentor and is kind of grooming him and teaching him, because Paul knows that one day he's not going to be able to do what he's doing. And so he's just saying, hey, Timothy, there's something about this guy that he places in high regard. So we come to Epaphroditus. Paul refers to him as his what?
Brother.
Yeah, as his brother. Kind of gives him three different names there. I mean, he refers to him three different ways. Mm-hmm. One is a brother, or a fellow worker, a fellow soldier, and also a messenger. Mm-hmm. Now, Epaphroditus is the pastor in the church in Philippi. Mm-hmm. Just so you kind of know that. We'll find that out at the end of Philippians. But he is the pastor of the church. And so Paul looks upon him as a brother. So both Timothy and Epaphroditus, he knows that they are like-minded people. And he finds it a real joy that they are in his life, and that they are people that he can trust in as well. All right, so just a little review. What do you know about Timothy? What comes to your mind when you think of Timothy? What have we learned about him?
Well, he served the work in the gospel with Paul.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Definitely was a companion to Paul.
Yeah.
Traveled with Paul. Paul thinks a lot of him. Okay. A laborer of Christ and taking the gospel to other places. What else do you know about Timothy? Or do we know about Timothy?
His father was Greek and his mother was Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Christian mother and a Christian grandmother.
Right.
I don't remember. One is Eunice and one is Lois. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember which is which. I never remember who's the mom and who's the grandma.
Yeah. So, I mean, we don't really know anything about his dad, other than that he was a Greek. And but he is influenced. His faith came to him through his mother and his grandmother, which is a good thing for us to know. that the influence with the Lord can go a long ways. Got any grandkids? You know? Is it easier talking to your own kids or to your grandkids?
Don't know what you're talking about. That's true. Well, yeah. In my case.
Well, sure, you know? But, you know, it's just like, you know, our faith speaks louder than sometimes we think. You know, sometimes you don't have to talk a lot about, you know, your faith because you live it. You know, they see who you are and the way you are. They know the reason why you are like you are. And for some, it's very appealing. It's very attractive. And sometimes, you know, somewhere along the way, it can be 20, 30 years later, the thought comes back as like, hey, what would mom or dad do in a situation like this? Or what did I just blow that I know that mom and dad would be disappointed with me? And it can be something that can bring people back into a relationship with the Lord as well. All right, anything else about Timothy that comes to your mind? Kind of.
Kind of like Kathy said, he went on missionary journeys with Paul.
Yeah. So they were good friends, Paul and Timothy. Then how about Epaphroditus? Of course, I just kind of told you. Epaphroditus, we don't know a whole lot about him other than he is the pastor of the church in Philippi. And he's got a Greek name, that's for sure, Epaphroditus.
Another fact that's interesting about Timothy, a lot of pastors are named Timothy.
Now the name means honoring God.
Yeah, I know. When Tim graduated from seminary, it was amazing to me how many of the people that graduated with him were named Timothy.
Interesting, yeah. I always hated the name Timothy.
Did you?
I was so glad mom and dad called me Tim. And I broke my arm in the emergency room. The doctor's wife was in there, Mrs. Kuplis. And she's got a really heavy Russian brogue. And then she called me Timothy. Shows how much distress I was in. I just go like, my name's not Timothy! It's Tim! Mom, they're trying to kill me! Because they're sticking, at that time they would stick down this little green tube down your nose to turn on the ether. You know, to put you out. Because I had a compound fracture in my arm. Fell off the horse.
My Timothy did that too.
Oh, really? Broke his arm too?
Yeah, his elbow.
Oh, yeah.
Fell off his pony and smashed his elbow.
Mine was a Shetland pony.
Mine was a Shetland. Was here to here. I mean, it just went like, you know, I was crying, saying, "Mom, I think I broke my arm," which I didn't think I did. I had long sleeve shirt on. Mm. Then mom came running. She was in the garden, probably pulling weeds in the Kohlrabi patch. She comes running over the chicken coop where the horse stopped, and I kept going. And I braced myself with my arm. And then she pulled up my sleeve, and I saw my arm, and then I really freaked out. So I go like, that's not normal. So on the way to the doctor we went. So.
I have a question.
Yep.
In this statement, it says,
Epaphroditus, yeah.
My brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the difference between fellow worker and fellow soldier? How would you describe the difference?
Well, you know, this is a possibility.
Okay.
Philippi is what? The town itself, remember what it was?
It was Greek, but...
Well, it was in Greece.
But
it's also the place where if you served in the Roman military, you could retire and live there.
Oh.
It was the Rome away from home.
Community.
So, I mean, the military could retire there because it's the same kind of weather and everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's a nice place. Now, could it be that Epaphroditus, you know, he could have served in the military with the Roman? Or it's just that as a soldier, what are some of the things you see as a soldier? As him as a believer, Paul calls him my fellow soldier, thinking of in the faith. What do you see a soldier, kind of a characteristic about a soldier in connection with his faith in Jesus? Obeys orders, will do what he needs to do to get the mission done, kind of a thing, you know? That's just kind of where I see it as a, being called as a soldier is someone that is
fighting
very
fighting for a cause, maybe.
And but very loyal, you know.
Yeah, steadfast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep, steadfast. Is not somebody with a whamby pamby, spineless
wishy-washy.
Yeah. Kind of a person. I mean,
yeah.
Paul knows that he can count on Epaphroditus and refers to him in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
A fellow soldier, messenger, he was sent by the church of his people in Philippi to go and bring a gift, to bring an offering by the church to Paul in Rome. Now, that's not an easy thing to do back in that day. You know, he didn't call a taxi.
No.
You would have to find a way to get to Rome, and it would probably take quite a while to get there. Get on a ship, possibly, to go across the Aegean Sea over to Italy. But so it meant a lot to Paul that he knew where Timothy was at, and that Timothy was going to go back to Philippi. He would find out from Timothy, it sounded like he's going to come back and give him a report on what he finds there in the church in Philippi. And Paul was looking forward to that. And then here the pastor from Philippi comes and brings with him the gifts, whatever that was for Paul. But it meant a lot to him. But a good question with that. Okay, going to number three. What does Paul appreciate about Timothy? Look at verses 20 to 21. What do you find there?
Well, he was steadfast. He was
What'd you say, Norma?
He was steadfast. He was content in his purpose.
All right. Okay. Steadfast.
He showed genuine concern for their welfare.
What does that mean?
Well, he showed them love and was concerned about if they had all their needs or if they needed anything.
Okay.
Maybe spiritually or physically, I suppose.
Would you say that Timothy had the same attitude that Jesus had?
Yeah, more so than me.
So, Timothy had a better attitude than Sharon. That's the way we put it.
You can put that in there, guys.
Yeah.
No, you can put it in your Bible.
Because, you know, we know that Jesus, his interest was always with other people. Remember? He humbled himself. There's humility with Jesus that he always looks at other people as more important than himself. Timothy, we find, is the same kind of a characteristic that Jesus displayed. So he's dedicated. He's committed to the Lord. And that's something that Paul would appreciate about him. I mean, when you look at the church today, are those the kinds of leaders that you also like to have?
Sure.
No, absolutely. No. So it goes hand in hand. We learn from what is in the scripture, and we go like, well, this is really what we know is what is important to the Lord today. All right. Number four, you look at verse 24. What is Paul confident about here in this verse? We see he has some kind of confidence. What is it?
Well, he'll get to go to Philippi.
Yeah. I mean, he just knows that he's going to get out of jail and he's going to get to go back to Philippi and to see the people there, to be in their midst. He knows that one day that's going to happen. He's just telling the Philippians, hey, keep the light on and the dogs tied up. I'm going to show up one day. That's he's pretty confident in that.
Did he get to do that?
Yep.
Okay.
He did get out, and he did get there. And then later on, he gets put back in the prison, and then he's also beheaded in Rome. It's kind of his fate. So, all right, verse 25. Why did Epaphroditus go to Rome? Oh, duh. I gave you that answer already.
To bring, was it money to Paul or just whatever he needed?
Care of his needs,
yeah, whatever his needs
were. Yeah, doesn't say anything specifically. It's just whatever the needs. What do you think his needs would be? Just think.
Money, clothing.
Clothing, probably, for sure.
Pen and paper.
Pen and paper would probably be okay.
Just maybe the idea that the people had about him, too, mm-hmm. hearing the word from the people mm-hmm. that they were anxious to have him.
Yeah. So it could have been little notes written in there, little uplifting things mm-hmm. sent to him, you know. Mm-hmm.
So a follow-up comment on Kathy's question. Mm-hmm. If Epaphroditus, if he was in Philippi, if he was connected with the military, it's possible that he had a shoe-in at the jail.
Mm.
I don't know, I'm only speculating, but you suppose?
It wouldn't hurt, would it?
It'd be a pretty good thing if he had the inside track.
Mm-hmm. He'd probably definitely know where he was at. If he's in prison, he would know probably.
Well, but if he knew the jailers, and
he would have some special.
We had knowledge.
A little bit of clout.
Inside information. Yeah.
A little bit of clout there.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either if he was in the military with Rome either, but
as being a pastor of the church, he might have had respect from people too.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to know how Epaphroditus came to know Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't hear that. We don't know how did he become the? Why was he picked to be the pastor in the church in Philippi, and not Paul?
You're the guy that's done the study.
There's no helpful resources that
no history
that we can look at with that. Yeah, probably the doctor. I just want to give you an update. Okay.
You're right.
Okay. Let's go on here. Number six, verses 26 through 27. Why were the Philippians concerned about Epaphroditus? They had heard something.
He was ill.
They heard that he was sick. You know, doesn't say what he had.
Because he'd been ill.
But sounded like it was pretty serious of what he had. And so seven, Paul mentions that God had mercy on him and spared him what? So what was Paul spared? Paul mentions that God had mercy on Epaphroditus and spared Paul what?
Sorrow.
Sorrow, yeah. Because if, say for instance, if Epaphroditus would have died, what would that have done to Paul?
Well, sorrow.
And if it was his sorrow, you know that that sorrow would be passed on into Philippi, to the church there, when they would hear that as well. But Paul is thankful that he is not ill anymore. He was spared. He's healthy again, or feeling a whole lot better than where he had been.
In my Bible says, I would not have one sorrow after another.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
sometimes life is like that.
It is, yep.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it comes in bunches sometimes. You just get something cleared up and you think you're good, and wham.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the saying when it comes to death?
Comes in threes.
Comes in threes.
Comes in threes, yeah.
You know? I mean, you know, is that superstitious, or just, it just kind of seems that it does go that way.
But then after you get to 80, they just come one after the
other. You don't look for the three anymore. It's like, no. Yeah, I may be next.
Yeah. And what mine says, sorrow upon sorrow. And I just feel like that means, you know, like you said, there's one sorrow and you're not over that, and the other one comes and you're not over that, and the other one comes, you know. It's just like you said, just one thing after another. And some people deal with that like all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Well, just think of those in Florida with that collapsed building.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
That was just awful.
You know, I mean, that is something.
People were their best.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be something that is going to, I mean, it's taking so slow to go through the debris.
Yeah.
But I mean, this thing is going to last for a long, long time. There was a TV commentator or reporter that was there, and they found the guy was right around 30 years old, and his mom was in the building. And so the reporter asked the guy, so like, how are you doing today? What's kind of going through your mind? What are your thoughts? And he said this: well, if she's alive, Jesus is with her. If she's not alive, then she's with Jesus. And that was the end of the that was the end of the
interview.
Yeah, it was just like
So you think of how many, we don't know how many people heard that. We don't know what that does to the reporter.
Yeah. But who gave that wisdom to them?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, and people who heard that, or maybe they didn't even put it on the, well, I was on the airwaves because I found out about it. So, but what a great testimony that is there that we'll never hear about. Probably, we just always will see the same thing of the mayor talking and somebody from Washington D.C. coming there and the workers. But you never hear much about real life and faith. So, interesting. Number 28, verse 28. Why is Paul eager to send Epaphroditus to them?
Bring him less sorrow and anxiety, right?
Okay, bringing who? Who?
Paul, right?
Well, he's talking about the people in Philippi, that they know that when Epaphroditus shows up in their presence, what's it going to do to the church there?
They'll rejoice.
Yeah.
And encourage them.
I mean, it's going to be party time. Rejoicing. There's going to be gladness. Before this, now it says that the church there was in anxiety, that they were stressed, knowing that he was ill. Well, now they're going to see him back in the flesh, that he is well again, and I'm sure they're praying for him and answers the prayer. I mean, there's nothing but positive things that will come from this. even though no one liked to go through it.
Well, Luna says, and that I may be less anxious.
Well, yeah.
So Paul's worried about the church, maybe.
Well, yeah, yeah. And it's just good for him to know that he's going to go back, and the burden and the issues that he himself is going through will lighten a lot for him, too. He's probably anticipating what it's going to be like when Epaphroditus shows up. And he's met a lot of people there, so he kind of knows them quite well. So there'll be some calm. A lot of calm and peace will come to the church in Philippi once their pastor comes back and is able to give them a report. And having given them the offering that he took from the church there, and then say that I did give it to him, he did say this, he told me this, he told me that, and this is going to be a good time for everyone there. I think it's just a time that we saw Mandy. This Mandy, what's her last name? She's from Sheldon area. She sent the video. She's in Romania. I can't forget her. I don't know her last name. Does anybody know her last name? Mandy somebody. But she kind of told about how she went to Romania and kind of what the Lord was doing there and what she does from day to day. And on how wonderful that was to actually see her and but in her own voice tell us what she did. You know, it's just kind of think of Epaphroditus. It was even better than that because he was there in person. Okay, number 9, verse 29 of chapter 2. How are the Philippians instructed to receive Epaphroditus?
Great joy.
Yeah, joy. Yeah. How's that going to be done?
In the Lord. Name of the Lord.
We'll do it in the Lord.
And honor him.
Honor him? You think they had a potluck?
Sure.
So somebody made lemon bars, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I made lemon bars for this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so they welcomed him, which is, I mean, it's good that he was welcomed rather than chased away, but to welcome him, to honor him in the Lord, and there was great joy, there's no doubt about that. Number 10, Epaphroditus helped Paul in ways that the church in Philippi could not help. What do you think that could be? How could Epaphroditus help Paul in ways that the church in Philippi could not? Don't make it difficult.
Well, he just came there in person?
Yeah, because he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. His presence. Sometimes just the presence of a person can make all the difference. It encouraged Paul that he was there in person. Something the church couldn't do. But the church made it happen. The church sent Epaphroditus on their behalf, mm-hmm, to show that they cared about Paul and what was happening there.
Risking his life.
And risked
what Bruce said.
Risked his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what all that means there either. But it wasn't an easy thing. All right, remember the key verse in chapter 1? Remember what the key verse was?
21.
Verse 21. What does it say, Sharon?
For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yep. It's a key verse for Paul to the Philippians. The key verse in chapter 2 is, what do you think? Key verse in chapter 2.
Number 2.
Could be a number of them, but mm-hmm, it's verse 5.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That kind of relates to 2.
Mm-hmm. think 5 kind of sums up everything that it says from 1 through 4. But then it goes on to say what Jesus did as well. Number 13, what qualities or characteristics bring joy to Paul in a church? Qualities and characteristics bring joy to Paul in a church. We kind of talked a little bit about that previously.
Like-mindedness.
Yeah.
Okay.
They love. Serve each other.
Okay.
Risking his own life, maybe.
Yeah, risking your life for the faith. Yeah. There could be people saying, oh, that can't be done. And the guy goes like, well, we'll see. I'm gonna prove you wrong, or we'll see what the Lord has in store here.
How about mission, too?
Oh, yeah, mission. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just people excited about Jesus, that they're willing to go and serve him.
Tell of Jesus.
So you look for faithfulness, you look for dependability, you look for people who are reliable, people who are joyful, upbeat, gospel motivated. Goes along with being, on a mission, gospel motivated. And just excited about Jesus, knowing that that Jesus has died on the cross for my sins, and he forgave me. And I know I'm going to heaven because of that. All right, number 14. This one's pretty personal. How have you, remember it says, how have you brought joy or are bringing joy to someone in Harbor of Joy? How have you brought joy or are bringing joy to someone here at Harbor of Joy?
Does Colonel Robbie count?
Colonel Robbie's?
Of course it does.
There you go.
That's like praying to win a ball game.
Sharing your produce in the garden. Now, we weren't there when you worked up the garden. We weren't there when you put the seed in the dirt. We weren't there when you watered it or you picked it and cleaned it up and brought it here to give to us.
They're not clean.
It's pretty clean.
Well, I didn't
clean from the garden.
Well, thank you, Donna, for cleaning them.
That was the Lord's doing.
Yeah, the Lord.
Yeah, I've never seen one before.
Yeah.
I think having people sharing with each other. That's helping the boy.
Yeah.
My boy.
Yeah.
That's being part of the family.
Yeah.
I'm in prayer shawl.
Well, do you know what their tastes like? They're more like a kale.
Yeah.
That's my
Brussels sprout. That taste.
Okay. How have you brought joy or bringing joy to someone in Harbor of Joy?
Well, involvement.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, I've done a few things, not anything earth-shaking or anything, but if I can help in some way, I feel like, and I can do that, I will enjoy serving in some way.
Sure, yeah.
Well, just having you come and be involved has been a joy to me.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even a phone call to someone.
Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
You know. Mm-hmm. There's many ways to bring joy to Harbor Joy.
Mm-hmm. Men's breakfast Saturday.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Can't.
Who's gonna be there?
Yeah. Not this weekend.
I just think of the joy of going with Bruce and Donna to the garden tour last Friday night. That was just a fun time.
It was.
You know, so it's sometimes things that I kind of see is you know, just being able to remember the names of people.
Yeah.
And how it just kind of, they seem so surprised. You still know my name. I think of Karen. I don't know her last name. I just know her first name. But she got down to Arizona and came back. And I think her daughter and husband run the Par 19 or Pub 19 out there. The restaurant, yeah. Whatever it is.
Out at the golf course.
Yeah, at the golf course, you know. But she was here on Sunday. And I'm, of course, like, kind of sorry. I go, like, it's her. And I'm going, what's her name? And I'm going, Karen. And luckily she said, that's right. You still remember my name. So some Sundays I do know who you are, but sometimes the name does not come. And I don't know why that is. But I go like, glue, Elmer. You know?
And I tell you what, the older you get, the harder it becomes.
Oh, actually, yeah.
I heard to grasp new names, especially.
Yeah.
But I lost an old name yesterday, you know.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, yeah, it does happen.
Somebody I've known for a long time. Yeah. I could remember her last name, her husband's name. I couldn't remember her first name. Yeah.
When people started coming back after COVID, then I'm thinking, man, who are, I can't remember any of these people's names. It was,
yeah.
It was kind of scary to me. I thought, wow.
And the mask didn't help.
Yeah, the mask. Yeah. Yes, and sometimes just smiling. You know, just smiling at somebody, acknowledging that you're looking at them, can bring joy that is simple, the simple thing to do. Okay, well, that's any comments or feedback after we finish chapter 2? We got 2 more chapters to go through. And we're still coming up with some great things we're going to find out along the way here.